You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, all. Well, this is certainly a real privilege to be with you here and bring the all the guys down from Teen Challenge and staff and to celebrate. This is really is a celebration. This is payday for the staff at Teen Challenge. That walked through the journey of recovery with the students that come to us. Teen Challenge Victoria functions on about a 50-acre property up in Kyabram. It's been there since about 1986. And Teen Challenge began in Victoria in 1974. currently, there are about over 1,000 Teen Challenge centres in over 100 countries around the world. And it all began, we're going to show you a short DVD in a few minutes that'll give you a global perspective on what Teen Challenge is about around the world. Right now there are over 200 million registered addicts in the world. That's like, it's a large country. We call it the fourth world. There's over 200 million registered addicts in the world. They're the registered ones that we know of. I did a class in a program in the USA some years ago where we kind of tried to guesstimate the impact of someone that carries an addiction and lives in addiction on the rest of the community. So in a class of about 15, I got everybody there that was in that class to write down the names of everybody that was associated with them that they were directly affecting with the way that their life was working. And that averaged about 14 people per student. So you multiply that by 200 million and you've got about half the world's population that are directly affected in some way by somebody that lives with an addiction. So it's an epidemic that is real in our nation. In every street, in every suburb, you will find people that are struggling with these kind of issues and the issues that then impact their family. So without me waffling on for too long, let's just cut straight to the DVD. And this is a DVD that was made by Teen Challenge in the USA as a celebration of 50 years in existence. Marcia and I had the opportunity to go and attend that in New York City and meet all of the people that you're going to see on this DVD. So they're real people, they're not actors. So let's just cut to that right now and then we'll continue. Thank you. That is a very powerful DVD, as you can see. I've met Jackie, the lady that you saw on there, and that moves my heart like you wouldn't believe every time I see it. We have requests for girls to come into Teen Challenge program. We only work with men at Teen Challenge in Kyabram at the moment. One of our goals for the future is that we want to see a centre set up so that women can participate as well. I'm just going to read quickly from Psalm 103. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his kind deeds. He is the one who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who delivers your life from the pit, and who crowns you with his loyal love and compassion, who satisfies your life with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord does what is fair and executes justice for all the oppressed. The Lord revealed his faithful acts to Moses and his deeds to the Israelites. He's compassionate and merciful, patient and demonstrates great loyal love. He does not always accuse and does not always stay angry. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve." Verse 4 says, "Who delivers your life from the pit." On the 4th of December 1974, I walked into what was the Assembly of Christian Life Centre in Oban Road, which is where this church obviously came from, with my sister. Having been arrested for drug trafficking and was looking like 10 years imprisonment, I walked in there and I met with Pastor Terry Boyle, and he asked me, did I want to give my life to the Lord? And I said, yeah, I do. He prayed with me in the crying room at that church, and I used it well that day. I started to attend that church because I wanted to, And there was a woman that turned up there one night. Her name was Jean Darnell. She came out to preach and she had a vision before she came out, and she said to the congregation that night, I'll never forget it, that she saw a picture of a hand coming out of heaven reaching into a big black hole, and that hole was the drug scene. She said, there's someone in this room that God wants to do something with to touch lives. She said that as that hand, those hands connected, God began to pull that person out of the drug scene, and there was a whole chain of hands that came out of that pit. I was in that room. I went forward for prayer that night. She put a hand on my forehead and said, Lord, make him a shepherd. That was it. No smoke, no thunder, no lightning, no nothing. But I had a thought. Maybe I should go to Bible college. So I applied to go to Bible college, and that was Christian Life Bible College at the time, with Hal Oxley as the head. And they said to me, I told them my story. They said, well, if you don't go to jail, you can come to Bible college. So we went to the court, and we said to my brother Alan came with me, and he swore his oath on the Bible, and he said to the magistrate that the court upholds the word of God, the Bible, as the standard of truth that we must swear our oath on. So therefore the court must take notice of what it says. And it says in the book of Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Everything old has passed away. He said, that's what's happened to Neil. He wants to go to Bible college. Magistrate said, I've never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life, but I'm going to give you a chance. And then he did. He gave me a chance. He gave me a chance to go to Bible college, which is where I met Graham. Graham and I lived in a room together for some months in Bible college, and I think I turned him into a spiritual man. I think I caused him to go to prayer a lot. But that's another story. The short story of all of that is I met my wife at Bible college. We married, 3 kids. We've got now 8 grandchildren. That was nearly 40 years ago. About 10 years ago, we got an opportunity to go travel to the United States and do an internship over there. And then when we came back, we connected with Teen Challenge, and we've been working with Teen Challenge now for about 8 years. Since that time, we've seen hundreds of young men come into Teen Challenge and be impacted by the message of the gospel, the truth that changes people's lives. Part of today is a celebration of hearing some of those stories. I'm going to introduce to you David Hunter. He's our program director. David came to the Teen Challenge program how long ago? 2007. Do your sums. David went through the program, graduated, did our servant leadership training program, felt called to be part of the team. He now runs the program. So you know what? When God moves in your life, he doesn't just change things and try and patch things up a bit. He gives you a brand new life. If you had have seen me when I was 19 years old and walked into that church all those years ago, there is no way on earth you would have, oh, there goes the future director of Teen Challenge. There is no way. He makes all things new. He gives you a brand new life. We're going to hear some of those stories today, and I'm going to introduce David. Why don't you come up, David?
Thanks, Neil. Oh, that was loud. I'm going to try to set this here without destruction. I have been known to spill a few things. First on me and then on others. So, thanks for having us here today. Church, I really appreciate it. And like Neil said, I'm David Hunter, and I oversee the program in Chi Abram. And it's a really great honor for me to be able to serve the Lord after rejecting him for so long in my life, and being given an opportunity to love and serve those that he brings across my path is a really great honor. I could be wasting my life doing a lot of things, and it's a real joy to be able to spend my life, you know, just caring for others. And our program, normally when we have a graduation, it can stretch out depending on how many people speak, and we're mindful of that. But with our program, it basically, men come into our program through various methods of intake, families, friends, from the courts, or they don't want to go to jail, or they're in jail, or they come through a church where a church body's been trying to support somebody for a season of time, and they recognize that that particular person can't continue to grow in their relationship with God without being extracted from their environment. And that doesn't always happen, and that's a great part of the body of Christ, that we're able to support people and see people raised up out of brokenness. But for some people that does happen, and so we have a lot of various methods of people coming into the program with all different issues. Everything, you know, ranging from mental health issues and really struggling with suicidal tendencies, and all the way up to, you know, the most extreme addictions. And there's a great range in between. And so it's not just your dark alley kind of heroin addict sitting there, you know, clubbing people over the head. But just a whole range of people. Our average age is 32 of men that come in the program. It's hard to reach teens, as you probably know. There's a lot of resources for them to avoid getting help when they're young. So, normally men don't hit the wall anymore until they're in their 30s, when they finally realize things are really bad. And so that's kind of our average age. I was 37 when I came in the program. There was 8 men that were 37 when I came in the program. So there was a few of us around. And one guy's come in, they do a 30-day orientation where they go through a manual that's been compiled at the center, and they basically look at why they're there. They look at their background. They look at some of the stuff that's been tripping them up, and they use that period of time to settle into the schedule, which is full on. It's 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. It's very structured. There's places you have to be, and you need to be on time and go where you got to go. There's personal studies, quiet time. There's chapel. There's group studies. There's work experience. And so it keeps everybody very busy all day long, learning to do the structures that we have set in place to help men really get established in life and set good life patterns, learn some skills, and also really develop their personal relationship with God. They've got a personal mentor after they finish orientation who sets them 2 contracts within phase 3. And phase 3 is when you come into the program, you do an orientation of 30 days. You do contract 1 and 2, which is books and journaling and reading and lots of personal work with your sessions that you have weekly with your mentor to really help you work through your own issues and the things that have been affecting your life. And also doing 14 group studies, which range from everything from how to study the Bible to supernatural power and am I a Christian and all that kind of stuff. And so when they finish that, then they have officially graduated from phase 3, and we have some graduates here today that have finished that. And they can actually move on at that point. It is probably not the greatest thing in the world to move on from that at that point, because you probably still need a little bit more that development in your life to really put things into practice. But some people have done that, and it's fairly new for us. We've only gone into this 6-phase program where we realigned ourselves with the structures that have been there in the past through Teen Challenge globally. And so once they finish that, then they go into phase 4, which is the training phase. And so the training phase has contracts 3, 4, 5, and 6 in it. And it's the time probably when the most substantial amount of transformation really takes place. You're kind of like a zombie during the first period of time, just like, what the heck am I doing here? And who are these people? And why am I sleeping in a room with another guy that snores louder than me? And, you know, there's a lot of misery and a lot of rebellion. There's a lot of anger in that phase 3 where people are really trying to settle into, why am I here? Who put me here? Who can I blame? And eventually in the next phase, most men are at that point where they're ready to say, hey, I'm responsible. I'm the reason I'm here. The choices I've made. And now what do I need to do to work through how to getting this process of recovery happening so I can get out and have a great life? And once they finish the program and they have to live a certain period of time outside the program practicing and experiencing life clean and sober. And when they do that, then they get a graduation, not just a completion of the program. So some of the men go out and they don't actually find themselves capable of quickly settling into life, and they might relapse. But those guys are given that opportunity to still rise up. And we've got a guy who's going to share a story with us shortly that happened to him. Went out, finished the program, didn't do so well, but after a short period of time really realigned himself with what he'd learned, and he's out there serving God, you know, and that's a great thing. And so some men find that God is actually calling them to stay and serve. And we have a program called Servant Leadership Training. I often joke that they're just roster fodder, but they're not. I do feed them to the roster. They work a lot of hours. So as they can attest, and I can attest because I did it, it's pretty hard work, you know, and living on the property and having people in your face all the time saying, help me, it's a joy. And I'm not for me, but I'm for other people. No, it is awesome. But and also some of those guys that may not have that sense within them that they're called to actually lead the men in the program, they may stay on as a support worker, and they think that God's asking them to stay for their own benefit and to really cement the things they've learned in their lives, but also to serve the men in some capacity. So we have support workers that live on property, and we have other men that are doing the internship that live on property, and we have the staff that live on property, and so there's a lot of people living on the property. And at the present moment, with the two phases, like it's been a really great journey for us, but it's been about 4 months we've been doing it. It's been a real challenge having two programs running with two separate schedules, one working and one studying, and it's been a real growth period internally, I think, for the staff and myself and the men as well that were there when we did the change. It was a lot of great turmoil because we just jumped right in instead of letting it trickle change. So it's been a great year, and we've already seen some great results of men finishing one phase and really being desperate for God and looking to go into the next phase. And so right now I'd just like to call all of the men that are actually in the program at the present moment. I'll get them to come up on stage, and I'll hand out some certificates for where they've actually gotten to in the program. And then we'll hear a few testimonies of some guys that are graduating. Is that all right? Fantastic. It doesn't matter. I got the mic. So I come from a long line of preachers. I know what to do with it. Yeah, definitely. So we'll call up all the guys. If you just want to come up and stand behind me and look awesome. So there's a few men that are actually in orientation that haven't actually finished orientation yet. So that means they're relatively new in the program. They've already gone through a detoxification process somewhere, and they're in the program, and they're working through this initial stage. So some of those men aren't actually receiving any certificates besides my love certificate. But, yeah, they're still great men, and there's a lot of great things I'm sure they're going to happen for them. One of them is Gary Glendenning. He's in the... Gary's in there. And so he doesn't have a certificate, but there's also Darren Smith. Is that right? Behind me, Darren. And I'm just trying to look through the list so I can get them, don't miss anybody. Who else is in orientation? And Nathan Moylan. And I think that's it. Is that it? Three. And David. And Daniel. Daniel, excellent. We get a lot of men that come into the program and then find out that it really stinks and it's really hard and they hate it. And so then they leave, and then after a period of time they come back. And that's why I never get discouraged when people come and leave, because I think, hey, I mean, they're hearing God, and you know, God doesn't fail, and he's like, you know, he's like the most vicious pit bull you can ever imagine. And he just latches on. And so we got a lot of guys that go in and out, and I really love seeing that. I love seeing him come back. I think that's more courageous than anything, coming back to the place where you've already failed and saying, look, you know, that's really humble, and I really love that. And we actually get a lot of graduates that actually that are men that have come out and gone back. So anyway, so those are the men that were in orientation. We really love them and appreciate those guys, encourage them to stick it out and slug it out for another grueling 12 months. And Then the men who I'll read through alphabetically, we've got Matthew Aldersley. He has completed orientation and contract 1, 2, and 3, and he's on contract 4. Thanks, Matt. Then we have Shady Amro, and he has completed orientation, and he's on contract 1. And there's Mark Cornell, who's completed orientation and contract 1, 2, 3, 4, and just completing 5, aren't you? Yeah. And we have Sean Fennell, who has completed orientation and is on contract 1. And we've got Pepe Gruda, who has finished orientations on contract 1. And we've got Joel Headington, who's finished orientation in contract 1 and 2, and is on 3. And we also have Mr. Robert Lovell, who's finished orientation and contract 1, and he's on 2. Excellent. I was waiting for some help there. And Steve Macon, who's completed orientation in contract 1 and 2, is on contract 3. Steve? And Tristan Paredes, who's finished orientation and contract 1, 2, and is on 3. Is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. And we have Jack Shafiq, and he has finished orientation and contract 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is that right? And the fabulous Mr. Heinz Zarman, who has finished orientation and is on contract 1. Is that right? So there are a few left in there. Yes, I haven't called him out for some reason, because I'll leave the best to last. We got Murray Simpson, has completed orientation in contract 1, 2. And then we've also got some gentlemen who very wisely have chosen, after finishing phase 3, that they'll continue on and go to phase 4. And that is a hard thing. In the past, we haven't had that. We've always just had, you got to do the whole program and that's it. In reality, I was one of those people that could have done phase 3 and left and not done the phase 4. However, my wife here would have not stayed with me because she didn't love me anymore because of the way I'd lived, which is true, isn't it? So if I'd have gone home, yes, I would have stayed loving Jesus, but I would have lost my family, because the changes weren't significant enough yet for her to actually reestablish her love for me. And so completing the program does have really great value, okay? Everybody? A little manipulation there. I told you I've been around preachers a while. I know how to do it. So there's 4 men. I'd like them to come forward, and that would be the wonderful Tristan Paredes, who's graduated from phase 3 and is in phase 4. And there's also Mr. Murray Sivison, who's finished phase 3 and is in phase 4. And we also have Steve Macon finishing phase 3, graduating in phase 4. And Mr. Joel Heddington, who's also a graduate. And we also have another graduate who's just recently finished. However, he had already done a Teen Challenge program in another state and was just coming for a refresher. And he did the program, and he's back with his wife and family, doing well, and finished phase three and graduated. That's Marcus Hales, and he's a good man. So, you know, it does work out sometimes for people, but not often. So I just want to give those guys glory and really praise them and give God glory for what they've done in their lives. And, So, all right, guys, if you want to show us your awesome exit procedures. Thank you, gentlemen. And, So I've been told that you were expecting me to preach. I've got a short 30-minute sermon now. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? My grandfather used to lie to us all the time and say, it's going to be short today, people. 2 hours later, the suffering is still going on. We're going to have a few testimonies from some guys who've finished the program. They're really pushing on for God. They're doing different things. And it's great to see when somebody completes something that actually is bringing them closer to Jesus. And one of those men is Mr. Michael Kirk. Would you come up and share with us, Michael?
Hey, my name's Mick. I am 25, and I've been at TC now for just over 2 years. And it's been a long journey. If anyone would have told me I'd be at TC for over 2 years when I first got there, I would have told them they were dreaming. Because, I never believed that I would have been able to last at such an intense place for that long, to be honest. But my story sort of starts off when I was younger. I got brought up in a good Christian home. My family are here today, which is great to have them here. Yeah, as life sort of went on, I was always just I never felt accepted, I suppose, never really felt approved in that. And then I got to 11, 12, 13, I was sexually abused by one of my older male cousins. And this sort of just brought a lot of confusion about my identity, who I was, and just a lot of turmoil and just I suppose a fakeness and a fear and all that sort of stuff had to go up to block the secret that I was hiding inside. And I started high school, and this is sort of where I got in with the wrong crowd, people smoking marijuana, cigarettes, stuff like that. And it felt comfortable for me. I was able to be around a crowd of people that didn't let each other in, that put up massive walls, put up a big facade about who they were. And for me, that felt comfortable, because I didn't have to let anybody into the secret that I was hiding or just into my life at all, really. I could be someone I totally wasn't. And that's how I thought I'd find myself. But as life sort of continued on, it just it progressed and continued to get worse and worse, from marijuana to ecstasy, and then gradually speed. And by the time I was at the end of high school, just started partying and stuff like that a lot more, sort of going from one relationship to another, and sort of really clinging to women as well and trying to find myself in them because I didn't know who I was. So the whole time I was, you know, give me something, give me some acceptance, give me some fulfillment, just give me something, I'm dead in. So yeah, that continued on. And then, yeah, well, I finished off high school, started after school, just the group of friends that I was hanging around sort of got a lot more involved in what they were doing, and so did I, which was drugs mainly, and then mates around me starting to deal drugs, and me just being around that sort of atmosphere all the time, it didn't really match up with how I was brought up. I was brought up in a good family, a loving family, but then all my mates were just, you know, backstabbing each other and continually just showing me a different sort of life, and I got sucked into it. And yeah, to cover all my wounds, continued to just party, really, pretty much. And yeah, life continued to spiral out of control. I was continually looking around for something to find fulfillment or give me meaning. So I tried to find it in work. I tried to find it in women, going to brothels, strip clubs, and just really, you know, just wrecking my soul at the same time. And I couldn't, you know, continually hearing voices every day just telling me to give up, just, you know, end it even at times, and just put yourself out of the misery. You'll never accept, you'll never amount to anything. And this continued on, and then sort of being around my mates that were involved in a lot of crime, I started thinking the same sort of mindset as them, and got involved in crime as well, more just theft than that. And then, yeah, I ended up at Teen Challenge, which was the best part of my life, really. I came to Teen Challenge trying to stay out of jail, and it was my get out of jail free card, so to speak, and I thought that's what it was all about. So I got there, but then 3 days after, I was wrecked, and Teen Challenge gave me the ability to be able to see how wrecked I actually was and start to see the truth in my life, that I actually didn't even want to live anymore, that I hated myself, that I hated everybody else. And 3 days after being at TC is when I met Jesus, and then from then my life has never been the same. He continued to just sow into me how loved I was, how accepted I was, how approved I was, and just how much value I actually had. And he just continued throughout the whole journey. My journey took me 21 months to finish the program. And yeah, just through the whole journey, I remember sitting in church services, being at TC or whatever, and just actually having wounds ripped out of me, just that were just that deep, and that, you know, they just controlled my whole life. And he continued to just take me through the process, just continually breaking me and then molding me into a brand new man. So he's unreal. He's unreal, and he is real. So that's the best thing. That's what I love about him, is the fact that, yeah, he is God, and that, you know, I can walk around every day now and I don't even fear death. I don't fear anything anymore, because everything's just about joy, and anything in this world really has no meaning to me anymore, because all my life is about is just chasing him. And he continues to show me that's what I always longed for, was just that freedom to be able to wake up every morning, look to him, follow him, and then everything else just gets brought into my life. And I've been doing SLT now for 5 months, and just even the concept of that, some mornings I wake up and I'm just like, how am I still here? I don't get it. But I'm still there, because it's not me. And the scripture that I continue to remind myself of every day is, it's not me who lives, but he who lives in me, which is Galatians 2:20. But that's what I live by every single day now, because my life was wrecked. I was done. I was ready to pretty much kill myself, or just continuing to do what I wanted to do to, you know, take me to my death anyway. So now every day is just full of excitement, and I love it, because it's like a fairy tale, so to speak. You get up every morning, you look to him, and you're like, all right, what's next? And you're just continuing to wait to see what he wants to do. And he continually amazes me with what he can do with somebody like myself, who was a drug addict, who was a thief, who was a criminal, so to speak. And he wants to use somebody like me, and that continually just amazes me every day, to be around all these beautiful men that were just up here before and have the privilege to be able to now lead them and not only be filled with enough life for myself, but, you know, he fills me with abundance so I can pour into other people and I can give them the life, and that's what my life's about now, is trying to share with people what he's given me. So, yeah, that's my story.
So all you men could be SLT as well. Just have to hang around a couple years. So, really grateful to have him, Mick, around, because he is a great, great help. You know, he really does love the men, and that's a key thing, is love, isn't it? You know, serving without love is slavery. You know, so it's not that pleasant. So we've got another great guy to share with you, and that is Mr. Reuben Abley.
Thank you, bro.
Wow, what a privilege it is to be here. So great. God's amazing. First, I just want to say a quick prayer if I could. Yeah, Father, thanks so much that I'm here today, that you've brought me to this place in my life. You're great, you're amazing, your love for me is overwhelming, Father. And I just thank you that you've protected me, you've had your hand over me, and I'm here today, Father. Amen. Well, my story starts when I was a little kid, grew up in the church. I've got a great family. Mum and Dad love me very much, got brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, cousins, and I'm very blessed to have a family that's very supportive. There's about 8 of them up the back here. So my parents split up when I was about 12, and after that I lived with my father. My older brother and myself lived with my father, so there wasn't so much parenting after that. There was, but he was working a lot of the time, so I had free will to sort of do what I wanted. And growing up, I was very, very easily influenced kid. And the cool kids at my school were the rough kids. You know, they liked to fight. They liked to use drugs. You know, very rebellious, stand up to people, that kind of thing. So that's the crowd that I followed. And that is the reason why I went down the road that I went to. Because the people that I looked up to were criminals, were gang members and that kind of thing. So that was at about 13, I sort of started going down the wrong path. By 16, life had decayed to the point where I was shooting up drugs. Friends were very hardened criminals. At 17, I ended up on a youth supervision order. So that meant I had to sign in with my probation officer twice a week, and I had to go to my drug and alcohol counselor twice a week. And that was at 17. One day, I went to my probation meeting, and my probation officer came to me and said, "Hey, there's, I don't know if everyone's heard of Jim Steins, the Reach organisation." She said they're doing a reality show called Doing Time on Channel 7, and they're looking for kids that have sort of come up from where you've come from, so your socioeconomic group, that kind of thing. So it was 12 CEOs of companies and 12 kids, so they wanted a really eclectic group of kids from different spheres of life. So I had the opportunity to go on this reality show. Long story short, I ended up getting a job at the National Australia Bank, which was a big jump. So I went from living in Moorabbark in a government house to working at the National Australia Bank. Literally went from robbing people. Like, the last court case that I ended up getting the YSO order, etc., I had 50 charges. There was breaking into houses. There was assault. There was up to about $100,000 worth of stuff stolen because it was just out of cars and what have you. So I went from that to working in a finance organisation. Yeah. Oh, man, it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh so good. Yeah, so praise God. He had his hand over my life. So I literally went from living in Moorabbark to I met a girl, ended up living in Paran, you know, top floor apartment, working at the NAB. I don't know. This is just God. So at that stage of my life, I still had massive identity issues. Had really no idea who I was because the facade that I lived out of was, you know, I'm a criminal, I'm a drug addict, I'm a gangster, that kind of thing. That was my sort of backstop before I really delved into who I was, which I had no idea. So I had, you know, a really proper professional work front. Then I had my street front. Then I had, like, my girlfriend front. And there was just all of this wish-wash, just, you know, different face, 10 different faces for 10 different people. So left the NAB, was in and out of jobs until I was about 24. And in that period, from about 18 to 24, generally had good jobs because I was completely full of it. I had a full of it resume. And I was using drugs full time, but, you know, I would scrub up nice, go to an interview. I'd very, very, very commonly get the job. Like, I worked for three of the banks, GE Finance, Beat Home Loans, worked for so many different organisations, like on just complete facade resume. So this is all in my life got to, just deception after deception, deceiving people, deceiving myself, had no idea who I was. But, you know, it says in the Bible that raise a child in the way he go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And I don't think it's, and when it said old, it didn't say growing up, he won't depart from it. When he gets old, he won't depart from it. So I always had roots in knowing truth. I knew I had a creator. I knew I was loved. I knew I was called to things better. I knew that the life I was living was broken and was not what I was called to. And I had this, and this was unshakable foundational truth because of the way I was raised up, which had a lot to do with it. So I got to a point and where I was like, okay, I need help. And a big thing with that, you know, fear of the Lord, but I also had fear of hell. I mean, I used to lie there in bed. And I smoked dope all day, every day. I used drugs, just whatever I could get my hands on, you know, prescription drugs and anything, crack pipes, just anything. I was just a scallywag. I'd lie there in bed and I'd just think, you know, if I died today, I'm not standing behind the cross. I'm not walking hand in hand with Jesus. I believe if I met God, I wouldn't be able to say, this guy's paid for my sins. I'd be like, no one's paid for my sins, it's, you know. And I knew this because I had that grounding. So I thought, something's got to change. Went to Teen Challenge the first time for a weekend, like Dave was saying. Went there for a weekend and left. Came back about 6 months later and completed the program. So life went from, you know, just brokenness to being whole. You know, it says in the end of Matthew that that the Great Commission, go out into all the world. What is it? Go out into all the world, basically see people get saved and disciple them. And that's exactly what Teen Challenge did. Because it's not just about, it wasn't about me getting saved, it was about me going there and getting discipled. So I left Teen Challenge. Towards the end of the program, in myself, I started to get a really hard heart towards things. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? So I left Teen Challenge with this real like anger inside, you know, sort of pushing it away. I'm going to do my own thing now. So basically I left and went straight back to my old ways. And it wasn't as bad, I mean, but you know, I went back to old friends, started just doing the same stuff. So this went from the start of 2011 up until the start of this year. Just went down the same path again. And I was so sick of it. I was so sick of it. I mean, in Teen Challenge, I was full of joy. I mean, I had good days and bad days, but I was walking with Jesus like this. Like, you know, our God, my creator, I was walking with him hand in hand, you know, like, I was full of joy, and I was like, I'm sick of this, I want to get back to that place. You know that place I was where I'm just open, leaving nothing in the dark, just being ruthless with my relationship with God, just being completely open. I'm like, I want to get back there again. So I cried out to God, and I just said, I can't do this, I've done it again, here I am banging my head against the wall, help me. And within the space of 2 weeks, I had nearly every door shut in my life, nearly every sphere of everything that was happening in my life. Friends, I lost the girl that I was with, I lost my job, all this stuff happened, bang, 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 and within about 10 working days, I ended up on the other side of Australia in YWAM doing a discipleship training course, and this happened instantly. And you know, I was asked today to share a testimony, and the one thing I feel in my heart that I want to share so badly is this happened many times in my life. This happened before I got to the National Australia Bank. God, I know you're there. I can't do it. Help me, Father. And he's literally just gone, here you go, son. Boom. I stuff up again. Father, help me. I'm broken again. Teen Challenge. Father, help me. I'm broken again. Why, when? You know, this is the God. This is the God we serve. This is the God I serve. It just blows my mind. And every time I don't deserve it, you know. I stand here today and I am filled with joy and I'm filled with hope and I know I've got a great future and I know I've got love. But, you know, at the same time, I won't fall into false condemnation, but I look back and I'm just like, I'm so undeserving. But God's like, no, you're not. You are deserving. It's amazing. Thank you. So the future now holds, I've just got back from Africa. So I went to YWAM, did a discipleship training course. You do 3 months in a classroom. It's very, it was the hardest 3 months of my life, even harder than TC. Like, it was full on. It was raw. You do 3 months in a classroom and 3 months overseas. So I went to Africa, went to Uganda, and had the most amazing opportunities. speaking in churches, orphanages, in prisons. We saw about 900 salvations, and out of that, myself, I saw about 200 or 300 people get saved. You know, and this is four months after I'm broken on my knees crying out to God. Then He's using me to see hundreds of people get saved. You know, it leaves me speechless. That, you know, but I believe more and more that you know, when we do that and we just say, God, here I am. Do, you know, your will, not, hey God, here's some options for my future, what are you thinking? Just like, which I, you know, definitely have a tendency to do, just go, here's the situation, here it is, you deal with it. He's like, good job, you know? So yeah, I want to thank TC so much, guys, you know? I thank you so much, you know, that, because that's, you know, at the core of what the gospel is exactly what Teen Challenge is doing. It's the core of the gospel. It's why Jesus came to earth. There's no doubt about that. It is the core of what Jesus has called us to do, what we were commissioned to do as Christians, to stand up and do. See the broken, get filled up with Jesus, find their salvation and disciple them. Send them out into the world to do the same thing. I'm a product of that today. You know, so by no doubt at all, thank you guys so much for everything you've done in my life.